We're now on the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, approximately, let's see, up from the bottom, maybe 8, 9, 10 lines. Tanur Rabbanan, Chassidim Rishonim, Hayishoim, Sha'achas. We're learning a brisa here that reflects what we saw in the Mishnah. Mispalim Sha'achas, Mechozim Rishonim, Sha'achas. So there was an hour of tefillah that was sandwiched between 1 hour of contemplation as a preliminary preparation for tefillah, and an hour of tefillah, an hour of shehiyah after his tefillah, sort of like coming down from the high back to put your feet back on the earth. Maybe during this time, after his tefillah, he would contemplate what he could have added to his tefillah, what he missed in his tefillah, maybe certain thoughts of supplication, and all told, the Gemara asks. I mean, the Brayse itself asks this question. If they dedicated 9 hours a day for tefillah, because each one of the three tefillahs needs an hour before, an hour and after, that's totally nine. Is Torah some hech mishtameres? How could they remember that Torah? It's interesting, the Gemara is only asking, how do they remember the Torah? The Gemara is not asking, how do they learn Torah, B'chlal? Maybe because they were Hasidim, they already learned the Torah, and now once they became Hasidim, now they go into this method, you know, into this enterprise of tefillah. But what's going to be with that tefillah? How's it going to remain with them? That Torah, excuse me, how's it going to remain with them? How are they going to remember that Torah? They don't have time in the day to review that Torah. So, well, what's going to happen here? Is Malachtan Hechanasis? The Gemara says, furthermore, if they're 9 hours a day dedicated to tefillah, when are they going to do any malacha to support themselves? Ella, so the Gemara answers, Mitoch Shechasidim Heim, since they are Hasidim, which means they're able to accomplish things in a shorter period of time that we cannot do because they are totally and exclusively dedicated, is therefore Torasa Mishtameres. They'll have a special bracha, because Baruch Hu is going to make sure that their Torah remains within them without being forgotten. Malachto Misbareches, and their Malacha will be expanded, will be blessed. Now, the same text appears in Yerushalmi with one change, and it says Torasan Mishtameres. I'm sorry, it says Torasan Mizbareches. We don't have that. We have Torasan Mishtameres. And the first chief rabbi of Palestine, Rav Yitzchak Cohen Cook, that's all he said, that there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. You know, Talmud Bavli is Chutz La'aretz. There it's Torasan Mishtameres, but in Eretz Yisrael, it'll be Torasa Mizbareches, that somehow, magically, the Torah that they studied will increase, will develop even further in their minds, in their hearts, even though they are dedicating 9 hours a day to tefillah. Now, the Mishnah says that if a person standing and davening is afilu hamelech shol b'shlomo lo yishivenu, he doesn't respond to anything, even if the king asks how you doing, or he says Shalom Aleichem to you. He doesn't, no response. You know, this is in the middle of tefillah. There's no room for hefsek in tefillah. Omar of Yosef lo shana. This only applies when the melech is shol b'shlomo b'em ela b'malchi Yisrael avav malchi akum, which is a chashash and pikuach nefesh. Meaning, if he doesn't respond to the king of the goyim, then that could be a death sentence for him. So posek, he's allowed, and he's even obligated to stop in the middle of his tefillah in order to save his life. And we mentioned this earlier, a similar idea earlier with the snake that's, you know, around his feet, that if it's really pikuach nefesh, then he has to stop. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Sima Kuf Dalet writes, Misha posak mitfilosa machmas melech akum im shah befseko kidei ligmar skala tfilah chodzul rosh im shah pochas mikan B'yud gimel brachas emtsois chozel l'tchilas ha-brachas shehivsik ba u'begimel rishonos chozel l'rosh b'gimel achronos chozel l'ritzei. In other words, that the first three brachos form a unit, and the last three brachos form a unit. And in a case where he has to respond to the king, then he goes back to the beginning of that unit when he finishes his business with the king, whatever that unit is, whether it's the beginning of the Shmona Esrei itself, or it's say as the kickoff of the Shalosh Achronos. But if, on the other hand, he was mafsik in the middle of his tefillah, then there are two dinim. One din is that if he had to be mafsik for a long period of time, he would have to go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. If he was shoah a shorter period of time, then within the 13 brachos and tzoyos, he just has to go back to each bracha that he was mafsik in. Now the Gemara asks from a brisa, a kasha on Rav Yosef. We just finished saying that Rav Yosef holds that the dinim change between a Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Akum, whether you're allowed to respond in the middle of tefillah or not. Now we have a brisa. Amas palel, a person's davening shmon esri v'ra anos. Anos means a potential murderer. He saw somebody who's coming along that might kill him. Ba kenegdo, and he's right in front of him. He's coming towards him. Ra karon ba kenegdo. There's some sort of carriage that's being rolled towards him. Lo yehi mafsik ela makatzer v'ole. He should not immediately stop and terminate his tefillah, but rather he should try to shorten and abridge his tefillah, and then viola. We'll have to see exactly what this word viola means, but what we see is that even during a Shas Sakana, he's not allowed to be mafsik from his tefillah. He could be makatzer his tefillah, he can shorten it, viola, and terminate it, but he cannot just simply stop his tefillah. And that's against Rav Yosef, who says that in the case of Malchi Akum, because of the nature of the Sakana, he should immediately terminate his tefillah. Lo kasha, ha, the Brice is talking about a case, the Efshal Lekatzer. In other words, before this Anos, or Karon, is going to hit him, he still has some time, not too much. When he's Omed Kfar, Besofa Tefillah, he can just simply shorten, abbreviate the end of the Tefillah, and he can complete his Tefillah, and therefore Yekatzer. But in Lav, if he doesn't have that possibility, you know, let's say he's at the beginning of his Tefillah, and even if he'll be Makatzer, he won't be able to complete it, is then Posek, he should stop immediately where he is. Now, the Yushalmi writes that Imu Yochol Li Notzel Al Yidei Alicha Bilvad Bili Dibur Lo Yafsik B'Dibur Rakimeni Yochol Li Notzel Al Yidei Dibur Mutal Al Gam L'Daber. So in other words, we're talking about a case where he has to respond by saying Shalom Aleichem or whatever it is, Aleichem Shalom. But if he can solve his problem just through Halicha, then that's not considered a Hefsek, because there's no Dibur. That's what it seems like from the Yushalmi. But the Rishonim interpret a little bit differently, that the Halicha is not a Hefsek, but it's only acceptable, it's only permissible, B'Shas Sakona. So Halicha Bilvad is Muteres, Gam Shalom B'Shas Sakona, according to some Rishonim, and according to other Rishonim, only B'Shas Sakona is Halicha Muteres. The Gemara now brings a story about the Isa to be mafsik in the middle of Shmon Esrei Tana Rabbanon, Maisa b'chosid echad, and whatever it says, Maisa b'chosid echad in Shas, the Gemara establishes that it's one of two people, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. Shayim isfal b'derech, Basar echad, one of the officers in the king's court came along in the middle of his tefillah, and lo shalom, and he said to him, shalom, ve'hachosid lo hichsir lo shalom. Now he's in trouble. Why? Because he didn't respond to the sar and say aleichem shalom. Why didn't he do it? That's not clear. We know that according to the halacha, he would have had to do it. It was malchei akum. Perhaps he thought that he could get away with it and this Sarah would not pay any attention. I don't know. I'm not sure why he was, you know, we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, why he was so adamant not to be mafsik when l'chora he has to respond. In any event, him tinlo ad shesiyem es tefilo, so the Sarah is hanging around, lingering until this old Jew will finally finish his tefilo. L'yachar shesiyem tefilo melo, reka. He said, you're empty. Hello, kosu b'toraschem, raki shomelcho shmar nafshcho mi'od, v'chein ksiv v'shmarite mi'od n'shashtuch seichem. That you have to protect human life. It's a great ideal. And you have to protect yourself in the case of sakana. U'kshenasati l'cho sholom, lovelo v'zartu li sholom. Im ha'yisi chotech es roshcho b'sayif, mi ha'ya tovea es domcho mi'odi. I could have killed you on the spot. And the fact that you didn't respond shalom to me, it means you put yourself into sakana merlo. The chassid said, hamtein li ad she'afayescha bidvarim. Give me a chance, give me an opportunity to pacify you. Amrlo, the chassid said, ilu ha'yisa omed lifnei melech bas of adam. And bach ha'vercha v'nasin l'chas shalom. Is Hayisa, and now we're turning to Lamed Gimel of Alpha, Hayisa Masilo Shalom, Amalo Lav. In other words, you admit to me that you would not respond to your friend who initiated Shalom Aleichem if you're in the middle of standing in front of a human king. That's, you know, it's be totally inappropriate behavior to start responding Aleichem Shalom to your friend. And therefore, the Tsar is moda that he would. So the Chassid continues now and asks him, what would the king do if, in the middle of this encounter between you and the king, you started answering shalom to your friend? So the Tsar said, if they would behead me, that's an onish v'zilzul on the melech. You would not respond in the middle of your encounter with the king. It would be totally unacceptable. It would undermine the covenant of the king. Is ani shayisi omei lifnei melech malchei amlochim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shuchai v'kayim la'ad lo me'olamim. I'm in front of Almighty God who's infinite and eternal. Alach es kama kama. How much more so can I not, you know, can I not respond to Shalom Aleichem to my friend when I'm in the middle of an encounter with the Ribbono Shalom, with the King of Kings, who's here and here forever and ever? Miyad nispaye, so sorry. Interesting. That's a happy ending to what could have been a disastrous ending, that the Tsar accepted the words of the Chassid, and Iftar also Chassid lebeisol Shalom. The Chassid was able to go home in peace. And the Taz claims in Arachaim Simon Samach Vav that this chassid knew somehow that the Tsar would not kill him immediately without some sort of judgment. And that's why he felt he wasn't putting his life into danger when he continued davening without responding to the Tsar's initiative of Shalom Aleichem. But the Tsar himself asked him, why did you do this? After all, you could be chayv misa for this, and at that point, the chassid was relying on the fact that he could be mafayas in bedvarim. That's how he shot stuff. He knew this tsar, or he felt that since it would have to be a din, and the din, he would be able to pacify him. But we should make the point that in general, v'nishmarta meod misaf shoseichem is a very fundamental principle, and the Torah is totally dedicated to the sacredness of human life. Going back to the Mishnah, filu nachash karuchal e'akevolo yafsik, he shouldn't be masking in his tefillah, even though the snake is around him. Amar Rav Sheshes lo shanu, when was this halacha applied? Ella in a case of nachash, which means that he's not muchan v'yomed to bite him, to attack him. Avalak Rav, when it comes to a scorpion, is posek. Then he better stop his tefillah and get the heck out of there, because, or if he can kill the scorpion, because the scorpion is always mucham viomed. It's always ready, waiting to bite you and to kill you. A scorpion is a very difficult, very dangerous creature. In any event, we learn from Rav Sheshes, in the case of a nachash, of a serpent, different than the case of a scorpion, is ein darkol leishach, leishach kolkach. It's not, we don't anticipate that immediately the snake is going to bite you. Meisvei, the Gemara quotes Bryce at Eske Kasha, and that it says, nofal legov arayos, if a person ever fell into a lion's den, we're not sure that we can be mater his wife based on that testimony, because it's possible that the lions weren't starving on that day, they didn't eat him up. But if he falls into a ditch that's full of snakes and scorpions, there's no question that the nechashim or the akravim would put him to death. We see clearly that even a nachash is darko lahazik b'chol shah. How did Rav Sheshes say that ain't derech nachash lahazik b'chol shah, and therefore you don't have to immediately terminate your shmonesh and run away? Here it says clearly that the nachashim are very, very dangerous, and it's darko lahazik b'chol shah is shiny hosom. That case in the Bryce is different. The agav itzitza mazke. Now, what does itzitza mean? He translates it here as dochak. She dochak oso kasha nofal aleihem. Heim bevali mazikin lo venoshkin oso. In other words, if you instigate, you know, if you fall on top of a nachash or an akrav, then you sure are putting yourself into tremendous danger. And that's called dochak osam kashenofal aleim. He pushed them away when he fell on them. Is then they're going to certainly be mazik. They're going to, they don't know any peaceful negotiations. They are going to respond in a very aggressive and dangerous way. But in general, the nachash is not muchan v'omed lahazik kolkach. Gemara brings a different sakana that could appear in a person in the context of a person's tefillah. Rabbi Yitzchak Rosh Varim, he sees that there are oxen coming towards him. His posek, he has to terminate his tefillah. And why is that? Because the shor is ready to be nogeach. The Tony Rav Oshio, marchike mishor tam, chamishim amo mishor muad, kiblo enov. If you see a regular ox, and this ox has not proven himself to be belligerent or to attack, he's a shor tam, then all you have to do is avoid 50 amma. I mean, that's a significant distance, but nevertheless, he's not a great sakana. But as far as Sharmuad is concerned, kimlo einov. So we can summarize this halacha, and it's paskened up in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Dalet, that if a person is mispalel and a short tam comes kenegdo, then he should stop his davening. And even if the shor is at a distance, but it's within 50 amma. But if a shor muad comes, then he better run away, flee in such a distance that he can't see the shor. And he says, "Mamakum shvarim ein regilinot." There's some locales where they have domesticated shvarim, then he doesn't have to be posek in the middle of his tefillah. Tana mishmei de Rabbi Meir. We have a brayso in the name of Meresh Torah Bidikula. In other words, if the head of the shor is inside what we call a basket made, which is full of straw, and what they do is they tie it around his neck. In other words, even if a shor is completely preoccupied with eating, slickly agra, run away and go onto the roof, ushdei darga mitusach, and make sure that there's no way that the shor could climb up and after you. In other words, be so careful, because in the case of a shor, the bull, the sakana is a great sakana. And this reminds me of, you know, in Spain they have these bullfights, and very dangerous. Sometimes they let the bull run amok after the. Amar Shmuel Hani Mili, when does this apply? Bishar Shachar. The darker bull is very, very dangerous. It'll be Yomei Nisan, and during the period of Nisan, and that's a period when the ground is full of grass after the winter has passed. That during these days, because the earth is so full of grass, he's in a very good mood and he's happy, and the Yetzirah enters into him, he becomes very wild and very, very dangerous. Tana Rabbana Maisa B'mokom Echad Shahoya, a road. There was an arod, which is a kind of a nachash, and it's actually a mixture of a nachash and a gigantic turtle. It's some sort of dangerous reptile, and you want to stay away. Very, very dangerous. Vayamazik es habrios. People were being tortured by this animal. It was attacking them. Bovo dila Rav Chanina ben Dosa. This Rav Chanina ben Dosa makes miracles. Amar lahem, they told him. I'm sorry, he told them. Haru li es choro. Show me where he's hiding. Haru lo es choro. Nosan Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa puts akevo, his heel, al pi achor. The Yatza road, Unishacho, and it bites Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And who died? Instead of Rabbi Chanina dying, Humeis Osa road, the Arod died. Nothing happened at all to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Nitola Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa took the dead Arod, Al Ketefo, and put it around his shoulder. Veviol Abeis HaMedrash. And he wanted to show the Talmidim Amar Lehem Re'u Benai. Ein Arod Memis Ela Chet Memis. Whether or not the Arod has the ability to kill depends upon whether the man is guilty, and the divine being will see fit that he should be punished, he should die. But if a person doesn't have any sin, even the Shichas Arod is not going to be a murderous Meshicha. And that's what happened with Rav Chanina ben Dosa. So if a person does die as a result of the attack of an arod, the bite of an arod, that's only because of his chet. Oy omru, oi lola shepagav arod, oi lola arod shepagav arav chanina ben dosa. A person who is attacked by an arod, oi lo, it's really, really dangerous. But from the arod, it's dangerous if he was pogea in Rabbi Chanina ben dosa. In other words, if a person has sins and he's going to meet up with an arod, that's pretty bad. But if the arod is going to meet up with someone who's actually naki without any chet, then oy lo for the arod. And this brings us up to the Mishnah here in the middle of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah talks about how sofos and azkaros that have to be added to the Shmoneh Esrei Mazkirin Gvuras Gishamim. B'tchias ha-meisim. Notice we add Masha Baruch Mor HaGoshem to the bracha of Gevuros, which is the second bracha of Shevach Vodoya. And we praise Hashem because He brings down the Geshomim. B'tchias ha-meisim, and that's the appropriate place to insert the Gevuros Geshomim, because this is the bracha of Gevura. And God's Gevura will manifest itself in two ways. Number one, in Geshem, in rain, and number two, in Tchias HaMesim. Now we're up to She'ela, not Masha Baruch Mor HaGoshem, but rather the same Talmud Matar, which is a Bakosha for Geshamim. And we add that in Birchas Hashonim. Again, we haven't said yet what happens if he does not do so. B'dieved, what's the status of his tefillah? And then of Havdalah b'chodein adas, we insert Havdalah into Ma'ariv on Motzi Shabbos, Motzi Yontif, in the brach of chodein adas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, we'll see a machlokas tanoim now. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omra, he should recite Havdalah b'bracha revi'is b'fnei atzma. In other words, after Akel HaKadosh, and before he starts Chonin Adas, he should recite a separate bracha for Avdolah. V'yeno kol of a bracha acheres, it has its own psich, its own chasima, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, behodah. Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree that Havdalah should be added to Shmon Esrei, but not into Chonein Adas, but rather into Birchas Modim. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer both agree that Havdalah is not appropriate for what we call the Brachos Emtsoyos, meaning the Bakoshos. Havdalah doesn't have any Bakosha in it. But what is it? Is it fundamentally some sort of Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or is it some sort of das, thanking Hashem that He's endowed us with the intelligence, the spiritual and the religious intelligence, to differentiate between a day of Chol and a day of Kodesh? And therefore, according to one Rabbi, and again, this is not Rabbi Akiva, but I'm saying according to the Tanakhama that we mentioned here, is Havdalah is integrated into Chonin Adas. That's where it belongs, because we need Atah Chonin Tonu, we need that knowledge, that ability, that in the mind to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol. That's what we have to have. And we're thanking Hashem for that, and therefore it's most appropriately that we insert Havdalah into Chonin Adas. For some strange reason, Rabbi Akiva wants Havdalah to get its own status as a bracha. We're not so happy about that, because the bracha is closed at the number 1819. And Rabbi Eliezer holds the most appropriate part of bracha for Havdalah is Modin, because all of the entire theme of Havdalah is thanking Hashem. Okay, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara now tries to clarify each Azkara, why it was established, and why it belongs in that bracha. Maskirin Gvuras Geshomim B'Tchiyas HaMeisim Haitayma. Why do we mention Gvuras Geshomim B'Tchiyas HaMeisim? The Gemara understood that mentioning Geshomim should be certainly in the context of the first three brachos, or the last three brachos, either Shevach or Doya. That was clear to the Gemara. So let's go over this one more time. Maskirin Gvuras Gisham Tchias Meisim Haitaymer of Yosef Mitoch Sheshkula Tchias HaMeisim Ketchilas HaMeisim Leficha Kavua B'Tchias HaMeisim. In other words, that the significance of Gishomim doesn't fall short of the Tchias HaMeisim. It's just that Tchias HaMeisim is for the next world, and Yerida's Gishomim is for this world, but they're both there to guarantee our existence in one world or another. And the Ficha Kavua b'Tchias HaMeisim, the Anshei Knesset Gedol established that we should recite Gvuras Geshomim, again we're talking about Azkaras Geshomim, in the body of Shmon Esrei itself. And the question is, where? Is it going to be Tchias HaMeisim or any other possibilities that we mentioned earlier? So this is going to lead us to a different understanding of of this edition of Geshomer. Right, we had two editions, two Azkaras that are added to the Shmon Esrei regarding Geshomer. One is Sheela. Let's start with the first one. The one is just Azkara. We mentioned the Gevurah Geshomer, and it makes sense that that could be integrated into the first part of Shmon Esrei, the Birchas HaShemach. And they were covered in Chiyas HaMeisim. But now the Gemara has another opinion. No, I'm sorry. Now we move on to She'elah. I'm sorry. Bibirchas HaShanim. Is my timer? Why is it that they integrated Birchas Kishom into Birchas HaShanim? Om Rav Yosef Mitoch Shehi Parnoso. If you come with Birchas Parnoso. Right, the ninth bracha is Birchas Parnoso. It's all about Parnoso. And we need Parnasa. We need four Parnasa. Gishamim. Without Gishamim, there's no Parnasa. So it makes sense that within the context of beseeching God for Parnasa, we should add a Bakasha for Gishamim. Now the Gemara clarifies what it says before. Havdolah b'chon nadas my timer. Why is it that we insert Avdol into Atochonin Lodom Das? And that was the first opinion of the Tanakam and the Bryce that we studied in the Mishnah that we studied before. Om Rav Yosef Mitoch Shehi Chochma, the ability to differentiate between Kodesh and Chol, between Tomei and Tor, all this is a matter of effective of Chochma. Is therefore kavua v'birchas chachma. Any bracha that's me'ein chachma, it's about chachma, they insert it into birchas chachma, which is atachonin l'adam das. For Rabbanan Amri, what do the Rabbanan think? They have a different reason for hazkaras havdola b'chonin adas mitoch shehi Chol, l'ficha kavua, bebirchas chol. It means that since the azkara of chol, where we have avdolah between Kedushas Shabbos and chol, is therefore l'ficha kavua, bebirchas chol. Which means they establish we'll call it Havdolah as an addition to Shmon Esrei, Bebirchas Chol. And that is the Bracha Rishona of the Amtsoyos, Atachonin Lodem Das. Omer of Ami Gdola Deo Shenitna Betchilas Bracha Shel Chol. Meaning the first Bracha of the middle Brachas of Shmon Esrei. And that's where Dea belongs. Because Dea is the endowment of man that makes man unique in the whole universe that God has created. Man's endowment with Das makes him a superior being on this planet. And in the Brachos and Tzoyos, the first of which is Atachonin Lodom Das, which again is only recited on a weekday, is that bracha, which is the first of the brachas and tzoyos, is the appropriate place to introduce the bracha of Havdolah. Havdolah belongs to Chonin Adas, but when is Chonin Adas? That's before all the other bakoshas, because Dea, Das, is so important, that such chashivus, that they were covered at the beginning of all the bakoshos. The Omer of Ami, Gdola Dea, Shenitna ben Shtei Osios. There are two Hazkaros of Shemos of Hashem, and in between we have Dea. Shenemar, it says in Tfilas Chano, in Shmuel Aleph, Al tarbu tidabru gavoa gavoa yetze asok mi pichem ki el deos Hashem. In other words, that since in Tfilas Chana, she has these phrases, Kikel Deos Hashem, and it's between two Azkaros, right? You have at the beginning of the Pasuk in Azkara and at the end of the Pasuk in Azkara. So Deos is written in between these two Shemas of Hashem. And that proves how important Deos are, or Das is, if you want to say it in the singular. Now the Rashba comments the following: Kavonas Hamamar Shal Yideya Deos Sheyodim Umasigim Es Amitas Hashem Umitzvosov Sharei Hi Nisuna B'toch Shemosov Yisbarach Lochein Hi Chashuva. So Deah here means, according to the Rashba, the ability of man to come to know God. And that's an endowment that's written, he says, in Nisuna B'toch Shemosov Yisbarach. The Chashivas here is so great that it's given over to be in the middle of the names of Hashem. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, kol odam sheyesh bo dea. So we skipped something. Omer Rabbi Elazar, gadol amigdosh shenitan ben shtei osios shenemar tivienu v'sitein baranach loscha mechon shitcha palta Hashem mikdosh Hashem yodu yodecha. So it says palta Hashem, Hashem koni yodecha, and sandwiched in between is mikdosh. So the mikdosh is written between two shemas of Hashem, just like we said before. That Dea is written between two Shemas of Hashem. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar kol adam sheyesh bo Dea ki ilu nivna beis hamikdash b'yomav. And v'dea nitna ben shtei osios v'mikdash nitan ben shtei osios. Both in the case of Dea, which we saw in Shmuel Aleph by Chana, and in the case of, so we have an equation between Dea and Migdash. They're both written between two osios. Migdash nitan bein shtei osios, and Dea nitan bein shtei osios. Therefore, is the Deah is like Beis HaMikdash. If a person has Deah, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his time. This is a shovi here, an equation here between the Mal of Das and the Mal of Mikdash. And a person has Das, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his time. And through Deah, a person could be Masig, and he can understand everything that is possible to understand and achieve Bizman Beis HaMikdash Ayakayim. Maskifla Rav Acha Karachinona Le Rav Eliezer. Ela Meata, if you're right, then anything that's written between two Shemas have a certain Chashivus, is Gedola Nekoma, Shenitna Mein Shtei Osiel, Shenemar, Keel Nekomos Hashem, Keel Nekomos Sophia. And he's not going into nitty gritty details about which Shemas here, but as long as you see a concept that's sandwiched between two Shemos, then that gives it a certain Chashivus. So what are you going to do with the case of Kel Nekomas Hashem? You know, what you're going to say, that Nekoma is sandwiched here between Kel and Hashem, and that gives it Chashivus. What exactly is the chashivas here of Nekoma. Nekoma is something that we have a lot of problems with. Omale, Rabbi Elazar says, Rav Acha, in b'milsa miya gedolahi. There are situations in which we absolutely need Nekoma. He doesn't tell you right now exactly what it is. We'll see that in the Hemshech HaSugya. But there's a midah klolus of nekama And this is according to Rav Acha, and based on Rabbi Elazar's logic, we should come to the conclusion that nekama is a big thing. It's a big mitzvah. Kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos Hofia. Now the Gemara finishes up in Milsa Mia Gedolahi. When we need it, it's great. And there are certain scenarios where we need it. So it means Hamida Klalichal Nekama Ena Gedola. The general concept of revenge is not considered something so great, but this pasuk but in this pasuk that we need it really, really badly. In other words, then it becomes great. Again, I don't know, until we see the next few lines of Gemara, I don't know how to do better with this. Behind the Omer Ula Shteina Kamos Halolu, when it says Kelna Kamos Hashem Kelna Kamos Sophia Lama, why did the Torah repeat itself when you come out to Nekama? And Ula explains that Nekama is Achas L'Tova V'Achas L'Ra'a. Achas Hi L'Tova V'Achas Hi L'Ra'a. We need a new definition, a translation of the word nekama, because nekama breaks down into two types of nekama. One is called gmul, which means reward for your good actions, and that's also called nekama. And one is ra'ah, when it's a matter of punishment and destruction. So as far as the goyim is concerned, when we talk about nekama, we're talking about punishment, and we're talking about trying to purge evil. But when we're talking about nekama for the Jewish people, that word nekama really translates as gmul li Yisrael. It's like, just like in the negative sense, if you punch me, I punch you back. That's called revenge. So too, in the positive side, there's something called gmul, which is also a kind of nekama. In other words, you did this for me, and you get back this back in return. And that's the double language of kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos Sophia. Litova, where do we find Litova? Tesiv with regard to Maimed Ar Sinai, V'yom Hashem, Misinai Bov, V'zarach Misi Olam, V'yom Arach Paran, V'yosam Mirvos Kodesh, V'yuno Ishtos Lamo. From this pasuk we derive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mafkir, the Mamonim Shal Nachrim. Kishalo Rotsu L'kabel Es HaTorah. There's a whole sugi in Bava Kam about this, that if the Goyim refuse to sect... when the Goyim refused to receive the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch was mafkir their mamon. They don't have any ownership rights. Now the word Ophiah means to reveal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, and he's mafkir the mamon of Goyim when they're Yoshvim Bahar Paran LeYisrael. Hifkir es mamon haGoyim. The Kavan Shigam Eitzel HaNekama Shabbaposu Kel Nekama Sophia Nemer Lashon Ophia Hofa'a, to teach us that the intention is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makpid on Mamon HaGoyim LeYisrael. He was Mafkir the Mamon of Goyim LeYisrael, and this has to do with Dinin Ezekin, and therefore we're darshing the word Hofia in these two psukim, like it was Gzeirah Shavah. And that's Nekama L'Tova, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mafkir, the moment of Goyim LeYisrael. And that's called Schar. Schar for the Jew. That's the Nekama L'Tova. Then we have a Nekama L'Ro'ah, the Tziv Kel Nekamos Hashem Kel Tzavim. The first Nekama in this pasuk is Nekama L'Ro'ah Min HaGoyim. God is going to mete out punishment against the goy because they refuse to accept the Torah. But we see clearly that nekama in this pasuk is bein shtei osios. Bein shtei osios. And let's repeat what we said earlier, that osios here is the same as shemos. So we have nekamos that sandwich between two shemos. And that means that there's a certain extra chashivas, as we discussed, to nekama. And the first Nekom is Nekom L'Ram and Agoyim. They refused to accept the Torah. And we understand that this Nekoma was placed between the two Osios because it's a Makom Shetzarach L'Nekoma. It's in a situation where Hashem sees that we need Nekoma. That's why this is written, this Nekoma is written between two Osios. I'll just read as we come towards the conclusion for this shiur, the words of the Milsa Mi Agdola. You remember we spoke about the words of Rav Acha, that Gdola Nekama, Shanina Ben Shtei Osios. So he says, Bemilsa mi gedola hi, achei nekama haba l'shem onish levad, eina gedola kol kach, ach b'mokum sheyesh ba tzorech v'toelas milvad ha'onish ba hi achein gedola. So sometimes the action that you're doing is meaningful unto itself, even without the element of nekama. And the element of nekama is like a tag on. So as we discussed earlier, b'milsa mi agdolahi, that enochinami, it's acceptable and sensible that the word nekama could be sandwiched between the two shemos, and that gives a chashivus, even though we're talking about Nekoma against the Goyim. And the answer could be manyfold. It could be that it's a good thing for the Goy to get punished. It's a good thing for Klal Yisrael that the Goyim are distracted with these punishments, so forth. You could come up with everything and anything. However, we're talking about what's called a Makom HaTzorech L'Nekoma. That's the key phrase in this entire sugya. In a situation where there has to be revenge, or shall we say, punishment meted out to the goy, it can't go for another minute. It's really essential. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to be Mevarech Klal Yisrael, he first starts with Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashma Shechina Yisrael, and then he declares that Hashem revealed himself to Yisrael by Har Sinai to give him the Torah. The light of the Torah is upon them until Har Seir. And that's, of course, Oro Zarach Aleh Mehar Seir, that's Eretz Edom, Ophia Mehar Paran, Eretz Yishmael, Uba Yachad, Emiksas Revavos, Malchei Kodesh, Umiyad Yemino Nosan Lemes Torah, Biyad Yemino Nosan Lemes Torah, Shnikris Eish Dos. And this seems to be Rashi's Pshat, and Unkelus as well. So there's a whole procedure or a sequence. Hashem is Shor Shechina. He reveals himself to the people of Israel at Har Sinai, gives them the Torah, and the R is somehow coming from Har Seir or from Har Parah. That part we don't understand. Oro Zarach Aleh. And Bo Yachad, what happens is Miktas Revavos Malchei Kodesh. Yad Yemino, he gives the Torah. And the Tchilas Hazricha and the Ophal Har Sinai V'lapidim Hoysa Mitzad Seir V'Har Poran Shehem B'Mizrocho Shal Harabayis. But Chazal Darsh in this Pasuk that Shehem B'Mizrocho Shal Har Sinai. Okay. Akiva Omer Om Rav Birch. Rav Akiva says that Avdola should not be recited in Chonin Adas without its own chasima. It should be a bracha which has its own chasima, separate, independent bracha. Rabbi Lezer has it inserted into Hodah. The Gemara wants to know, how is it possible that there could be a machlokes tanoim, when to say Avdolah and Tefillah, Anshei Knesset Agdolah were masakin Havdol and Tefillah. Omale, Rav Shemen, Bar Abel, Rav Yochanan, Michti. Anshei Knesset Agdolah, Tiknu Em Liyisrael, Brachos, Utfilos, Kiddushos, Vehavdolah. The word Kiddushos here is a reference to Kiddush on Shabbos and Yontif. Clearly, the Anshei Knesset Agdolah, they were the ones who organized Havdolah. Is Nechse Heichan Tikkun? Why don't we just look and see? You know, it's like you find an ancient pair of tefillin from the time of Bais Sheni. Go look and see if it's Rabbi Tam's tefillin or Rashi's tefillin. No, what I mean to say is, we should be looking to see what Chazal was masakin. Where was Havdalah inserted? How can you have machlokas tanoim about this? They must have been saying and reciting Havdalah in Meir of Motzi Shabbos for a long time before Rabbi Akiva inserted. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan's b'tchila kavua b'tfila kit batfila. It means that initially Anshei Knesset Agdolah established Havdalah, just recite Havdalah. Why? And when they came up from Bavel at the time of Ezra, they were dchukim b'mam, they were very, very poor. V'lo ratzu latzricham liknos yayin. Yayin was so expensive, and they didn't want to force the Jewish people to buy wine. But nevertheless, later, Sheishiru, they got wealthy, and they had money to buy wine. They had money. There was an abundance of money. And at one point in history, Bais Sheni, I mean, the poverty was incredible, and they didn't have enough money to buy wine. But now that Heshiru, and they have the money to buy wine, Kavu Alakos, they wanted to establish this bracha of Avdolah on a kos, and they took it out of Tefillah as a separate independent entity, and that's why they forgot what was the original takon of the Anshei Knesset Agdolah. So it was forgotten, and then there was a machlokas about where the Avdolah should be. So again, initially, there was a separate tefillah called Avdolah. And later on, when I say a separate tefillah, I mean without yayin. But later on, when they had the ability to buy wine, and they took it out of the tefillah. So again, when it says mitchila kavua Anshei Knesset Agdolah b'tfila levada, so initially when they came from Bavel, that's mitchila, and they were very poor, so there was no requirement of havdalah alakos. It was too expensive for them to buy wine, so there was only havdalah and tfila. Then, at a later stage, when they got wealthier, they decided to take it out of tefillah and be koveya on the kos. And the reason they took it out of tefillah is because the ikar chiv was to say it on the kos, and they were afraid if they continued saying it in tefillah, then they'll be somech on tefillah in the avdol tefillah, and they won't be makpid on the kos. So the ideal avdol is avdol al kos, but that was only possible later on when it has shiru. Now, there's another period of time of hen. So again, they became poor. Is chazur kavua b'tefillah. And then once again, they took it away from the wine of what's called yayin avdol kos, and they put it back into tefillah as it was initially. But again, by this time, they'd already forgotten exactly where it was in the tefillah. Because again, this was not the original takana in tefillah. This was after they took it out of tefillah, and now they're putting it back into tefillah. So by that time, they had forgotten exactly where they inserted or where they required us to recite Havdalah. It's somewhere in the beginning of the tefillah, but we don't know exactly where. So Rabbi Yochanan says that even when they became poor and they koveya the Avdolah in Tefillah, but Hema Amru Amavdil b'Tefillah Tzarch She'Avdil Alakos. In other words, if he would have a possibility, again, if he doesn't have any money, he should be, make a second Avdolah, and that would be Avdolah Alakos. So we have two Avdolahs. We have the Avdolah in Tefillah with Machlokas Tanaim exactly where in Tefillah. And that's not Alakos, that's integrated into the Shmona. So then we have Avdolah Alakos, if he has the possibility, the wherewithal to buy a kos. So they weren't Oker Legamri, the din of Avdolah Alakos. They said, if he doesn't have the availability or whatever it might be to buy wine, then it's enough that he does Avdolah and Tefillah. But if he has the ability, then he should be Mavdil Alakos, in addition to the Tefillah, to the Avdolah and Tefillah. He should have both. Now, what was the reason that they were Mesake in Avdolah Alakos? The Yerushalmi says, Bishvil Lizko Sasatinoko Sheinim Espalm Sheishma Avdolah. Okay, that's a possibility. But there's more to it than that. But in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to pick this up tomorrow.